You are listening to the voice of the frontline protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's 1,000 hours straight up and down. Do you know where your body armor and your bullets are? Get ready, because we're in a world of hurt. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio this week, and I'm the host, Rick McCann. We're going to be talking in today's edition about tag. You're it. And when we say you're it, it's not a good thing. It is not a good thing. We have troubles every which way that we look, as you know, even if you're living in paradise, Hawaii, or South Florida, or some island someplace. We certainly have a lot of trouble every which direction that we look. And that's what today's program is all about, the burden that has been transferred from law enforcement to private security now more than ever. Like I said, 1,000 hours to know where your bullets and your body armor are, because you're going to need them. Welcome again to the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm broadcasting today from a lovely place in South Alabama on an island, and it is beautiful to be in the Gulf Coast again this week. And I'm going to be doing some training, and we're putting together a great course for first responders. We just recently released the new mental health education for first responders, and the modules have been written so that they can be both classroom ready as well as taken online. It is a magnificent course. Each module goes through different aspects of safety, assessment, what mental health is, where all of the mental health diseases have come from, how they've advanced over the years, and why it's important for all first responders, whether you're law enforcement, fire, EMS, and security, to understand the true scope of mental health emergencies. It is unfortunate that in this day and age that so many first responders still have not had either adequate training or no training. When we get a call, whether you are a first responder with the fire EMS service or private security and law enforcement, when you get a call involving somebody who's acting violently or in rage, or they say he's having a mental health emergency, a breakdown, it is so vitally important that you understand how to assess that situation quickly. And we are talking about split-second decisions that you cannot hesitate to make. When we pull up on a scene, we have to be able to identify the problem, because that's going to set the stage for safety. in this program. You're going to learn all about the signs, all about the tells that people have so that you are able to assess your risk and danger. Now, as a firefighter, paramedic, EMT, first responder, our agencies, when we get a dispatch of a certain type of call where the scene is not safe, we often stage. And the police come in and they provide scene safety and they notify us, okay, scene is safe. Now we can move in. Well, security officers don't have that luxury. They don't have that pleasure to just sit back and wait. If you're going to respond to a situation and not know what you're getting into, you can't just sit back and wait for the police because, as you're going to hear again today, that is not going to happen. Tag, you're it. And you don't even know it. We have a lot of breaking news and a lot of different items that we are going to cover in today's program. Thank you, everyone, for sending recent emails. I'm really happy to hear that many people are enjoying the shows and the topics. I know that a couple of people were like, latchkey kid, what the heck? What in the world is he thinking? And then as they got into it and listened, they understood how they can help kids who are latchkey kids and how they can identify problem areas on properties that they patrol. And so they were really quite surprised. Many of our shows are geared towards specific areas that you don't often think about. And as I've said before on the radio show, I don't just have a radio show and it doesn't take no time at all to put things together. No, that's not how it works. We actually take, my team and I take a long time, quite a substantial time, some days, some weeks, on putting together the program, researching information, statistics, and so much more. And it's not just slapped together. So when we have titles, when we have topics like the latchkey kid and officer down and, you know, mental health and responding to emergencies, so on and so forth, it's because these are areas that you frequently are involved in, but the topics and the training just isn't there. And, you know, maybe you had some training 5 or 6 or 20 years ago, but the topic needs to be refreshed. It needs to be updated. It needs to be current. And we are always striving to make things current and make things available to as many people as possible. Remember, you can go to our breaking news blog every single day at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Also, sign up for breaking news, officer down, and training opportunities on our website at privateofficer.org. A box will drop down, fill it out, and you'll get that information right there in your emails. Sometimes people don't like to have emails sent, and I'm not really sure why they sign up for them. We don't spam you, and we don't sell your information. privateofficer.org, a box will drop down, sign up today. You can also follow our social media. Many people have gotten away from social media, but it is a very vital and important aspect of business. It's how people do business these days. It's how they communicate. Go to twitter.com/privateofficer. We're there every day, 24/7. A lot of great news. Also, you can share news on our Twitter platform. Or if you prefer, go to Facebook, facebook.com/privateofficerinternational. Again, a great place to share information, to communicate with others in the field. And unlike other platforms that I'm familiar with, we're not there BSing and talking a whole lot of nonsense and all kind of crazy stuff. No, we're a professional organization, and our social media is used to communicate, to educate, to inform, and to network. And if you want to learn more, go there today. And remember, you can always contact our help desk at privateofficer.com for any information. Before we take our first break, I want to remind everybody out there that it is important to be part of a professional organization to maintain professional credentials and also to network and to stay on top of current news in the field. If you're going to be working in private security, public safety, retail security, private law enforcement, whatever it might be, you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in your field. Be sure to also check out our friends at Body Armor USA. We've got what it takes to protect you, whether that's stab-resistant vests, protective clothing, gloves, top-line body armor. Again, we've got what it takes to protect you, and there's no doubt about that. Body Armor USA. We'll be right back.
More than 114,000 people are waiting on an organ transplant at any given time in the U.S., and at least 80% of those are waiting for a kidney.
For kidneys, it largely defaults to waiting time, but for livers, hearts, and lungs, it's largely based on the degree of illness and how sick someone is, and that defines their priority on the waiting list.
Dr. Charles Rosen, director of the Transplant Center at Mayo Clinic, says living donors can help save people waiting for a kidney or a liver, but those waiting for other organs, unfortunately, have to wait for a deceased donor. Dr. Rosen says if you're interested in saving another person's life with your organs after you die, it's important to sign up as a donor now while you're still alive to save your family from having to make a difficult decision at a difficult time.
We've heard from donor families or potential donor families that decided not to donate because it was such a stressful time in their lives that then 3-6 months later they felt some remorse for not doing that.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm Ian Roth.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector right here on the Private Officer Radio Network. Now don't go away because we are coming right back when we've got a whole lot more right here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us
to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Welcome back to the Private Officer Beat Radio. So glad so many of you joined the program, whether live or by downloading it or by going to any other streaming online platforms. We're everywhere. And, of course, you can also get it at our main website at privateofficer.org. If you want a particular subject discussed, if you want particular training, contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And talking about training, now we talked about the mental health. There's also an additional mental health education instructor program that you can enroll in. Successful completion will also qualify you to be an adjunct instructor for Armor College. Now, what does that mean? It means that you'll be able to make revenue. You'll be able to do in-class or in-person trainings in your area. We'll market your area, and you'll be the lead instructor. The way that it works with us is that we'll normally be with you on the first or sometimes even the second scheduled training to help get you situated, and then you'll be on your own as we market to that area for that particular program. And of course, if you really are interested in owning your own school, we have a excellent program right now for new campuses that we are opening. Contact Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, at armorcollege.org. We have also been talking a lot lately about the virtual museum. That is coming along quite well. If you would like to be a curator, again, all that you have to do is contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We have a lot of projects that we're working on, and we really need our members and support folks to step up and to get involved. And again, to learn more about all of the different projects and programs that we have here at Private Officer International, please just send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. One of the other very exciting things that's going on that we've been working on for over a year now is our very own media platform, the Frontline Protectors platform. And we've already had inquiries from companies and individuals. Very exciting. We're going to have original programs. We're going to be starting off with a series about missing law enforcement and missing private security officers. When I discuss the topic over the years with people, they just cannot believe it, but it's true. Every year, about 600,000 people go missing in the United States. And of those, many are never heard from again. Many are never found again. And some of those have been people that wear uniforms, security and law enforcement. So our first original show will be about that. We're also going to be introducing several other shows, Frontline Protectors. This show is going to highlight law enforcement, fire, EMS, and private security. And we're going to have a heroes show all about true heroes throughout the U.S. and Canada that seldom get their due. We're working on six different original TV programs with our partners, and we're going to be filming in a number of spots throughout the U.S. And we're also going to be highlighting on our network companies, both private security and training schools and businesses associated with public safety. And we're also going to give you an opportunity to advertise on our website, very inexpensive. To learn more about this project or others, again, you know the address, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're very excited about Frontline Protectors because there's never been anything like it, and certainly not for the overall public safety scheme involving and including private security. This is not about guards. This is not about people doing rounds of an industrial building. This is going to be highlighting really the more public safety area of private security and the more active law enforcement style of private security, as well as highlighting other private police officers, public police officers, fire, and EMS. Remember, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you would like to learn more, if you would like to have your company featured or you want to market, advertise, just contact us at the helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Remember, if you're in the Charlotte metropolitan area, that includes parts of South Carolina, and you're looking for armed or unarmed security training, you can contact our friends, John, at Premier Training Academy. That's John at Premier Training Academy. They do all sorts of training, not only armed and unarmed security, but certainly safety, citizen safety training, first aid CPR, and much, much more. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, of course, we do. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, and we want you to be included. Don't go away.
a crisis, everybody. Now, most of you have seen me wearing my signature mask on a plane. I love wearing it when I fly. I tend to get my own row 99% of the time. It's simple. Just wear the mask and cough. Because who wants to sit next to this guy? I don't blame you. And I went from being the only one on a plane wearing a mask to now everybody is doing it. Out in public, the park, at the mall, at the post office, with their girlfriend, with their husband, with their husband's girlfriend. We need to help our doctors, our nurses, and our healthcare workers who are fighting COVID-19 head on. And we need to make sure they don't acquire the virus. These frontliners have been running out of
personal protective equipment.
PPE. People have asked me, Kayvon, are you down with PPE? Are you down with PPE? Are you down with PPE? I'm like, yeah. You know me. Yeah, you know me. The CDC has been forced to downgrade the need for N95 masks to surgical masks, now down to bandanas because of a lack of supplies. Does this seem like a good idea to you? Hi, I'm your doctor. I'm also here to rob your bank. Bandanas? Scarves? What kind of PPE is that? One more. This is one of the easiest ways you can be a hero. So if you're a healthcare provider in need, or if you have supplies you can donate, there are a lot of groups leading the effort. Start with the PPE Coalition. They're a great resource, and they can get you pointed in the right direction. So there you have it. Be a hero, make a donation, and help a frontline healthcare professional. After all, their health right now is in your hands. And while you're at it, wash those too. Because if you don't, you're disgusting.
Yeah, you know me. Yeah, you know me.
Why? Why take a chance? Why risk a mistake? Why say something? We all have reasons why we choose to ignore the things that give us pause, that seem out of place, that don't feel right. The word why can either paralyze us or empower us to stand up and protect what we love. So if you see something, why do you say something?
I see safe for my family.
I see safe for my friends.
I see safe so that they are safe.
We see safe for each other.
I see safe because all of this matters.
We all have something worth protecting. A why that unifies the community we're all a part of. So protect your everyday. Report suspicious activity to local authorities. If you see something, say something.
Just a few weeks ago, I was telling you about this TikTok challenge, a ridiculous thing going around on TikTok, causing many teenagers and students of schools to vandalize their school property. The challenge was to make the biggest mess, the biggest amount of damage that you could possibly do. They pulled sinks off the walls, soap dispensers, broke toilets, flooded bathrooms, and so much more. Now, it got quite a few students in trouble. Some were arrested for vandalism. Some were charged with higher crimes, including felony of city property. But now there's another challenge that is even more concerning, and that is slap a teacher silly. That's right. The challenge across this TikTok platform is for students to walk up to a teacher, anywhere, and slap them silly. Well, in many states, assaulting a government official, which a teacher is considered a government employee, would be a felony, an automatic high-level felony. And yet, we have teenagers across the country willing to take that challenge and that risk. And so they are assaulting teachers. Again, TikTok has stepped in. Supposedly, they're going to take down all of these challenges. But it's already out there. Kids already know about it. It's not going to stop. Last time when they were vandalizing the school, and again, TikTok said they were going to take down all of these challenges, it was too late. The message was already out there and the vandalism continued. So will this challenge about slapping a teacher. It is just mind-boggling what is happening on social media these days, and it's alarming that so many teenagers are just following these stupid challenges, these stupid social media posts, and going about this like it's no big deal, no crime, nada. Well, it's a big deal, and they need to understand really what's happening. Later today, we're going to be talking in our topic of the week about something that I'm very concerned, and that is the lack of police and the new normal. The new normal is that we're accepting violent crimes and murders as normalcy, and it's not. It just is not. Available at Armour College now are several great courses. We talked about the mental health issues, and we have put together a great course. Check it out at armourcollege.org. But also medical courses. We have a number of new medical courses, including EMR, which is the Emergency Medical Responder course, 55-hour online course that you can take. This certificate from the American Red Cross and Armour College will really put you into a position where you could go out and use that for employment. In fact, many school athletic coaches and many people in the child care industry and other industries use this certification. So check that out at armourcollege.org. We also have been talking about all the things happening here at POI. We currently produce four radio shows from the legal side, LP Zone, the Monday Private Officer Beat Radio, and Coastal Alabama, which is really going quite well. And now we're going to be producing a new radio show called Frontline Protectors. That will be distributed on many different networks and channels, but it will also be available on our brand new Frontline Protectors website. Will be coming up pretty soon, hopefully within the next month or so that'll be online as we continue working on original content as well. As I said, if you want to be involved here at Private Officer International or at Armour College, now is the time. Contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And if you are interested in owning your own technical vocational school, now is the time, because we are reducing all fees. And between now and the end of the year, you can actually get into a school for just $3,500. And that includes all instructor training, all of the front office and back office support, legal and business support, and so much more. Contact Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E, at Armour, A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org. This doesn't have to be a brick and mortar. You can actually operate out of your own home office and just go do the training at clients' locations. And also you can be part of our online school system. Contact Carrie, and she will explain all of the great benefits and everything that is happening, and there really is so much happening. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what's happening in the media, what's happening in the news. There's a very concerning video right now coming out of Liverpool, New York, where a 15-year-old Liverpool high school student seen on video being beaten up, shoved, grabbed, pulled out of a room after supposedly using a racial word against the minority security officer. When we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about that. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Rebound comes out to Hooley for the win. Hi, I'm Peter Hooley. My mum has always been my biggest fan. She cheered from the bleachers, from the living room, from her hospital bed, until one day she stopped cheering. My mum died of colon cancer at the age of 52. If she had been screened earlier, it could have saved her life.
If you're over 50, get screened today so you can be cheering tomorrow.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this state.
This week, sitting over here at the news desk, we've got a lot of breaking news, as always, and it keeps coming in night and day, 24/7. I could literally sit here and probably read the news to you 24 hours a day. We could probably start our own cable news program, our own news channel. I'm sure that we have as many stories to tell as any other news organization. But there are some key stories that I do want to cover today. And some of them are not pretty, such as this one coming out of Brentwood, Pennsylvania, a small community in Allegheny County, which is where Pittsburgh is. A Brentwood high school security guard arrested just a few days ago on Friday for inappropriate communications with a student and sending naked pictures. Daniel Stavader, 23, is charged with institutional sexual assault and multiple other felonies for this. Police got a tip and they began investigating the security guard. He is facing some real prison time if found guilty. A very interesting story, and what I believe you're going to see more frequently coming out of multiple large cities, and that is the city of Seattle, Washington, where riots is just an everyday occurrence and part of their life these days. The city is considering grants to help fund private security. Listen up, if you own a security company, Washington State might be the place to go. Fed up with the lack of law enforcement, fed up with the lack of protection, even to protect against the most simplest basic crime, businesses are looking for support from the state and the city government, and they could be receiving it soon in a program that will fund private security for businesses, especially those that deal with tourists and resorts, hotels, and many, many security companies. This is coming right out of the press release from the city. Many security companies in Seattle are charging between $50 and $100 an hour, depending on what type of security you get, whether it's an armed or unarmed or even an off-duty police officer. And so businesses are looking for the government, again, to hand out some money to help protect their businesses, because it's going to drive traffic back into those local communities, especially the tourist area, And Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin, she's all for it because she says the proposed budget already had set aside emergency funding for the purpose of citizen protection. So if Seattle does this, you're going to probably see other communities, other businesses start putting their hand out saying we need to hire security and we need money to do it. Coming out of Georgia, a small town in Wheeler County called Alamo Police Department, a police officer, a part-time police officer, was shot and killed on his first day of duty. The 26-year-old police officer, Dylan Harrison, was actually a full-time narcotics agent with another agency, so they believe that he was targeted, but he was killed around 1 a.m. Saturday morning in front of the police department. He is married with a six-month-old child. A blue alert has been issued, and if you don't know what that is, a blue alert is any time a police officer has been critically injured or killed, and the suspect is on the run, and they believe that he is obviously a danger to the community. Now, I don't know how the police figured out who killed this officer. They evidently have some other information, but they have put out a BOLO. Be on the lookout for 43-year-old Damian Luke Anthony Ferguson being a very dangerous character, dangerous criminal to law enforcement. That's what the blue alert is. He's 5'10". He weighs 215 pounds, brown eyes, short brown hair. He is still on the run, and authorities are cautioning any law enforcement that does come into contact to use extreme caution. If you want to see a picture, go to our breaking news at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Right there on the page, you're going to see that picture. A security officer at a hospital in South Nashville, Tennessee, was injured over the weekend after a patient assaulted him with an oxygen tank. Darren D. Kraft, 47, is charged with felony aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And the security officer did receive some injuries, but he will be all right. Two security officers in New York in Chelsea, which is a part of Manhattan, also were injured after being stabbed during a robbery at an Apple store. This is not the first time that we have seen this. Unfortunately, Apple stores are frequently targeted, and they have their merchandise secured, and yet they are still targeted and robbed. And there's been a number of security officers not only injured, but a number of security officers who were armed that fatally wounded the suspects. Coming out of Omaha, Nebraska, a security officer, again, charged with a sex offense with a minor, Jose Luis Carino, has been charged with three counts of first-degree sexual assault with a minor and one count of third-degree sexual assault, as well as assault. This security officer worked internally for the Omaha public school system. He was not a contract officer. And unfortunately, we do see a lot of this as well. Officers at the prison in Richmond County, North Carolina, intercepted a football that was thrown over the fence. And guess what? Yeah, there was something inside the football. According to officials at the North Carolina Department of Public Safety, 80 miles outside of Charlotte at the prison, correction officers intercepted this ball that was full of drugs. Coming out of Washington, D.C. this past week, three heavily armed men robbed and attacked an armored truck security team robbing them at 9:30 in the morning in the 1300 block of Good Hope Road Southeast. Now, the security officers admitted at first they didn't know what was happening, and all of a sudden they realized that the men were heavily armed. They were wearing ballistic bulletproof vests, black jackets and pants, and they were heavily armed in what police are saying are AK-style rifles and riding in the dark SUV. They robbed, attacked, and fled away and have not been seen since. An interesting, disturbing, and sad news item coming out of Fairfax County, Virginia, one of the most upscale, richest counties in the state of Virginia. The Fairfax District Attorney has now had a complaint filed against him for his actions on September the 28th when he came into the Fairfax County Courthouse. Contracted security personnel manned those detectors in the front door, and they were conducting an all-inclusive security screen as required by their county at least once a month. The county DA, someone who should be enforcing the law and for all efforts to stop any weapons or drugs from coming into the courthouse, Steve Descano, he disrupted the whole process, refused to go through security screening, refused to show his briefcase or to be involved whatsoever, and as security was trying to de-escalate and telling him it was a 100% screening, all employees, attorneys must go through it, he spurts out, "I'm the head law enforcement officer of the county and I don't got to do it." Well, that's true. In many states, the DA is the head law enforcer, but after some de-escalation, more de-escalation, and another law enforcement officer intervened, both the district attorney and one of his assistant attorneys went through the screening, but the sheriff's department has now filed an official misconduct complaint. We don't know what's going to happen there, but we are definitely going to follow it. No one's above the law. In North Carolina, two men have finally been arrested for kidnapping and murder during a robbery. This kidnapping and murder of a security officer happened in 2017 at a sweepstakes business, one of those game room places that give out money illegally. These operations are all over our country, and every place you see these type of businesses, you see a lot of violence and security officers being injured or killed or fatally shooting someone. But these two men have been wanted for more than 3 years. They have now been taken into custody. Of course, they pled not guilty. The security officer was taken off site and murdered after the robbery of this casino-style business. A ruling coming out of California is a win for private prisons. A California law which banned all future private prisons, no future construction of private prisons, no private prisons could enter the state to do business, has been ruled unconstitutional. It appears, according to the federal court, that it would interfere with the federal government's ability to enforce immigration law as well as federal law enforcement's right to have prisons as needed. And therefore, this state statute or state law that was recently put into effect is not legal and cannot be enforced. So you'll see more private prisons, I'm sure, coming in to California. In Alabama, in the city of Birmingham, where the University of Alabama at Birmingham is located, a growing university. The main campus is in Tuscaloosa. The University of Alabama at Birmingham really is growing and it encompasses many city blocks. It has a
huge medical facility and a medical school. They just voted this past week no confidence for their police chief, Anthony Purcell. 55 out of 59 officers voted no, I'm sorry, 55 out of 59 officers who participated, they actually have well over 100 officers, voted no confidence in Chief Purcell's ability to lead the UAB police. This is happening across the country. It doesn't really mean that he'll be replaced. Some of the grievances of their officers is a lack of immediate response during the 2020 pandemic. They did have the first officer in Alabama to die from COVID-19 last year. And they also said that he does not go to bat for officers' increased wages. Some officers, being there more than 20 years, haven't had a raise in 5 or 6 years. They also say that he is not standing up for them. He is in favor more of the leadership of the school, and there's been several incidents involving that particular police chief. We're seeing that across the country where many cities and schools have added minority and other candidates who may not be as qualified as they should be to take over a leadership position. And there's a lot of disdain in some police departments for their current police chiefs, and I think you're going to see that more. Coming out of Hartford, Connecticut, a park ranger who was a retired Hartford, Connecticut police officer saved a young man from jumping off a bridge. The park ranger was working a function when he saw some commotion over at the bridge. He first thought maybe it was some kids that was playing around. He soon learned that it was a teenager who was about to jump. It was not a joke. It was not a prank. He was able to talk the teenager down with the help of an off-duty Capitol police officer. Rich Calderon is being hailed as a hero, as he should be, for preventing the death of this young man. A program coming out of New York is under scrutiny. The new governor of New York put in a special program that would pay medical professionals such as nurses 2.5 times overtime pay, but they left out security. This special program was to reward all of these people for their long hours, and but they didn't consider security to be part of that program or part of the team. And now there are unions that are protesting this, and obviously it doesn't seem right. This is a ridiculous, ridiculous show of where we're at in the United States. A school board group has asked Biden to use the Patriot Act against parents. The Patriot Act was for terrorism. The group is wanting the president to enlist the FBI to battle any parent group that is against critical race theory or involving gay teens and letting them be on whatever team that they want. They want parents groups to stand up and protest against all of these various changes that are not appropriate in schools to be under this program, under this terrorist law that would brand them as terrorists. School board meetings have been disrupted in multiple states, obviously California, Florida, Georgia, Arizona, New York. But the Patriot Act and the Gun Free Zone Act, these things are not designated, not designed to attack parents who just don't agree with what the school board is happening. In fact, Joe Biden said last week, the parents just need to shut up and sit down and let the schools do what the schools will do. Well, that's not how our Constitution works. That's not how democracy works. And it's definitely not how schools work. We don't just drop our kids off at the school and say, oh, I'll teach them whatever you want to. That's fine. We have a say in their well-being and their education. A list of 2021 safest cities was released this prior week. And according to this study, Columbia, Maryland topped off the number one safest city in the U.S., followed by South Burlington, Vermont, Nashua, New Hampshire, Yonkers, New York, Madison, Wisconsin, Portland, Maine, Warwick, Rhode Island, Raleigh, North Carolina, yay for Raleigh, Burlington, Vermont, and Winston-Salem, North Carolina, two cities from the big Tar Heel state. Some of the least safest cities included Lubbock, Texas, St. Petersburg, Florida, Anchorage, Alaska, Birmingham, Alabama, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Memphis, Tennessee, Oklahoma City, San Bernardino, Fort Lauderdale, St. Louis, and guess what? Those are just a few of them. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about, you know, do you know where your bullets are? Do you know where your body armor is? I said at the top of the hour, it's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your body armor and your bullets are? It wasn't a joke. It's pretty serious. We'll be right back after this break. If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org, privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. PrivateOfficer.org. And if you're not already a member of the Private Officer International Association, sign up while you're there today. Become a lifetime member for just $99, and we'll also include a free Private Officer International patch and lapel pin. This past week, there was a lot of talk and concern about the lack of police response from many cities. We've seen this for more than 2 years as more and more police departments are defunded. Their budgets are cut in half. Sometimes reduction and canceled services are being skyrocketed everywhere. And unfortunately, you just can't provide the level of service that you normally would. Far more police departments will be hurting soon with the defund the police, the budget cuts, millions of dollars sometimes coming out of their budgets, staffing overall in many police departments has been reduced, sometimes by 30%. Police academies canceled, not one academy scheduled in some departments for the past 4 years, 3 years, and they cannot handle the overload of calls for service. We've talked about this several times on the radio show in the last year. More and more service calls are coming in, and police have to do something with the limited number of officers, so they're cutting the type of calls that they're going to respond to. Specialized units that target street crimes, guns, drugs, and gangs have been disbanded overall in many large cities as a sign of reimagining police. Defund the police is ruining not only our cities, but it's putting more and more people in harm's way. Defund the police have removed police from local, city, county, state law enforcement, as well as schools and colleges alike. Police departments, their command staff, their officers, and the citizens that they serve have been under attack and have taken a beating by these reimagining the police nonsense and by the leaders, council members, mayors, and governors who are all okay with all of this as crime continues to rise at one of the fastest paces that we've ever seen in America. Murders up in many areas, over 30%, the most in six decades. Some of those victims are security officers, private police officers, our local, county, and state law enforcement becoming victims of those murders because of the defund the police, the lack of funding, the lack of officers, the lack of resources to battle the crimes. Robberies and burglaries, property crimes are up in some areas by 70 to 150%. I just read this past week, one community reported that crime is up by 656%. 656%. How could you even live in a community like that? Violence, drugs, gangs, and murders are all being rationalized these days as normal. It's not normal, folks. It's not normal to live in this type of society. It's beyond catastrophic. It's beyond all hell is breaking loose. While elected officials salute, aid, and abet these criminals. And don't even get me started about the influx of illegal, not migrants, but illegal aliens. Quality of life is going downhill. Many crimes are being ignored. Noise, drunks, trespassing, loitering, fighting, misdemeanors, they're all being pushed aside because police departments do not have enough police to respond. Just this week, Austin, Texas joined the list that said, we will no longer respond to these types of crimes. And they listed, if it's not a real life-threatening matter, we're not coming. The police chief there, fed up with the lack of funds, the lack of staffing, the lack of resources to truly do their job. And he was recently put in that position after serving as an interim police chief, but he's speaking up. Enough is enough. Many police chiefs have left their job over it. We've told you in previous radio shows. We've hammered it home. We've talked about the decrease in police response, the decrease of the types of calls that they're going to be responding to, and guess whose shoulder that falls on. As more businesses continue to seek out private protection, whether that's from off-duty police officers, maybe their own security force, a private police force. They are realizing that the cavalry is not coming. The police, the people that they pay their tax dollars to have protect them, are not around. They just can't be. So now many businesses and schools and hospitals are putting in place their own internal private police force because they understand that this is not going to change anytime soon. This is going to be an ongoing issue for years to come. Another thing that we try to educate folks on, the police departments, the police law enforcement has been set up primarily as a reactive force. Sure, even with that community policing aspect that they put into place a number of years ago, they were still reactive. Proactiveness is when police officers are allowed to get out and check out suspicious vehicles and persons that are loitering and people who look like they're up to no good. There is something in the law that allows police to do that when they feel a crime is afoot. But unfortunately, all of that extra proactive policing is being stripped away, and really many citizens and government officials only want the cops to get involved in, you know, the most serious of crimes. Don't worry about that expired tag. Don't worry about that red light violation. Don't worry that that guy just stole for the 15th time from the 7-Eleven. We're not going to get involved in that type of response, or we're not going to be too concerned about it. Don't worry about being proactive. Don't worry about guns and drugs and gangs. We'll go there when somebody calls us. To balance this all out, more businesses are putting more dollars into privatizing their own internal protection forces. And it's a fact that the police have not been able to protect us for a very long time, a very, very long time. Police are generally, you know, the good guys, but they're being made to look like they don't care. Like they're the bad guys. Now, I want to caution every security officer, every public safety officer, every retail agent, you're not going to have the support of the police. And you probably are already experiencing that. It's not because they don't want to respond to your call. It's not that they don't want to be there if you need them. The problem is this. Many communities no longer allow the police to respond to certain type of calls. And with more than 1.3 million shoplifters every year apprehended by loss prevention and retail security, what's happening is that the police in many states have reduced their response to retail theft to only when an injury has occurred, it rises to a felony level, there's some type of out of control theft, and even then, they're probably not going to get there, while it's in progress. Who does all of this defund the police, reimagine the police, get rid of the police? Who does it really hurt? It hurts the poor, the minorities, not the rich guy behind the gates and living in the countryside where the most serious crime that really ever happens around his area are kids rolling toilet paper on Halloween or the neighbor letting their grass grow 3 inches when they're supposed to have it cut by 2 inches. In reality, quality of life, property crimes, trespassing, shoplifting, theft, disorderly conduct, and even some violent crimes are falling more and more to the shoulders of private security officers. And it has for years. We all know that private security officers have become the true first responders. They're always there whenever something goes down, whether it's somebody having a heart attack or there's a fight or a robbery or whatever it might be. There are more private security today than ever before, about 2 times almost the number of law enforcement. But the sad thing is that our security folks, who are doing a heck of a job and who are doing the best they can, are the ones who's going to be seriously injured and killed more than ever before. They're going to be the ones on the front line 10 times more than they have been just a couple of years ago. And therefore, the more interaction with the public, the criminal public, the more likely is that they're going to be injured or even killed. And sadly, the cops may not be on the way. They may not be the cavalry. The cavalry may not get there at all. That was yesterday when the police was able to respond to every call, to every need. Of course, it's not going to be that bad in smaller communities, smaller cities, where not a whole lot goes on, and the police obviously have time and the resources to respond. But the police, let's be real, let's be serious. The police are not responding to the calls of citizens or even private security unless someone's being injured or is injured, there's a threat of an injury, a weapon is or has been used, or someone's dying or could be dying or is dead. This is our new reality. This is what we have to understand is the way of life in many of our communities across the country. Private security is on the front line, and they have been in harm's way for probably since security began in the late 1800s. But now, more than ever, we see private security in so many situations where I know they don't know what to do. I know they don't know how to respond. I know that they're just, they don't know. I understand. Been there. Been in this business a long, long time. But now, unfortunately, rather than calling 911 and knowing that the cops will be there in a few minutes, we can call 911. They might not be there for a few hours, or they might not come at all. What's happening across the country is really serious. And we have two choices. In our profession, we can either staff up, train up, and prepare and make sure that we have the right number of security personnel on the job site, or we can suffer consequences of more injuries and more deaths. What we're seeing across the country with our educational systems, our schools, is that parents are fed up. They're fed up with local school boards allowing critical race theory. They are fed up with transsexuals being allowed. If they think that they're a male, you know, and they're really a female, they can be on a male athletic team. If they think that they're a male, or they are a male and they think they're a female and they want to be on a female athletic team, they can be. And parents are fed up with this. They're fed up with illegal immigrants. They're fed up with what's being taught at our school. Did you know that in some school systems over the last 2 years, they've had homosexuals coming into the school, reading to children? Yeah. They're tired of the constant preaching that whites are racist. They're tired of the school boards and the school systems going awry against what parents want. And so what's happening in the school communities is they're taking their kids out at a higher rate than ever before. They're homeschooling them. They're church schooling them. They're sending them to private school. They're teaching them online. They're doing whatever they can to get them out of public schools. And that's what you're seeing with businesses. You're seeing them take their own protection into their own hands, whether that be armed security officers, off-duty police officers, whatever it takes. We're seeing across the country that communities are hiring their own or starting their own police force. We talked about that in the last radio show. We're seeing more businesses hiring armed security. Security right now, in today's day and age, right at this time, right now, October 11, 2021, you have an opportunity, especially high-end, high-quality, armed and well-trained security with military or law enforcement veterans as employees are in high demand. Companies now, probably more than ever, are willing to pay those big bucks. They're willing. Hey, I just told you about Seattle, Washington. $50 to $120 bucks an hour is the going rate. Private security companies right now can take advantage of where we are at with having to protect ourselves. And businesses now realize they don't have much of a choice. It's either become a victim or protect ourselves. More private security will be hired. More armed security, more patrols, more private law enforcement will be hired in all sorts of businesses, schools, and environments, especially community patrolling and gated communities, schools, and other places where the police no longer have the manpower to source out, to respond to those calls. But unfortunately, I'm concerned because more private security and public safety will be hurt and they will be killed. And that's really a hard fact. Are we ready? Is the security industry really ready for what's happening? We need to provide a whole lot more training if we're going to take on similar duties as law enforcement, which we already have. We need more communication support, two-way radios, 24-hour dispatch, more weapons, more specialized training, more oversight by supervisors managing us. I know a lot of security personnel don't like to be managed or have supervisors looking over their shoulder, but if you're a law enforcement officer or a military person, you understand that is the game. No matter where you go or who you work for, you're going to have oversight. But with law enforcement and the military, these oversights are a good thing. And in the security industry, it too can be a good thing. Even the best security companies probably are not providing enough oversight of their staff. We also have to understand the laws and the rules of engagement much more than we ever have. Without knowing the law, you cannot enforce it. Without understanding the rule of engagement, you're going to get yourself in trouble, as many security officers do every single year. We need to have additional specialized training in mental health education, advanced medical training, including at least emergency medical responder or to the EMT level. We need to have more specialized weapons training, including less than lethal. And we need to have more de-escalation training because we're going to be involved in a whole lot more and we're going to be on our own. No police response, no backup, no two-way radio. We need this now. It's not down the road. It's not if something bad's going to happen. We're going to experience something that we've never experienced in private security before. I've been in it since early 70s. I can tell you that the number of security officers that we see injured and killed every day is astounding. Many of the duties now done by private security was never imagined as part of the security industry back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. We're taking on not only a wider variety of clients and environments and situations, but we're also taking on a lot more responsibility, a lot more duties, a lot more non-private security type duties. And I think without all of this additional training, education, support, equipment, and of course, pay and benefits, I want you to understand, when the state of Washington or Seattle, where the average is $50 to $120, many places in California and New York and other states, it's the same way. security officers are paid $20, $25, $28 an hour. I have several friends who own security companies, and even before there was a lack of a pool of security applicants, they were paying well into the mid-range of 20 to even higher than that. In Washington, D.C., you can easily make $25 as a special police officer. So as we wrap up this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio, I want us all to understand not what's coming, but what is here, and the reality of the deep on the police, and the reality of many police departments not responding to certain type of calls. And many of those calls that they're not responding to are areas that security calls the police for because they can't make the arrest. This is going to be a discussion that we're going to continue, I'm sure, for quite some time to come. But it's a discussion that you should be having internally with your company and your employees. I know several security and police unions have been talking about this for about 3 years now, and they have put some things into place where it protects their members as far as requirements of pay and wages and benefits and body armor and so on and so forth. But there's actually something in the law that says that the employer is responsible to provide all safety equipment. If you're putting a security officer in a housing project or in a high crime area, I would think body armor is safety equipment. That's going to do it for this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. We're glad that you have been with us. And remember, you can download our radio shows from iHeartRadio, Amazon, iTunes, Apple, any place where you get your podcast music or downloads of various programs. Thanks again for being here, and we'll see you back on the radio. Until then, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here coming up in a few days.